As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just the trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eating teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia. Bo, Sheila, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheila, and Zach coming at you with steps and things flapping their wings on.
Do you think Jack Del Rio's not going to go to the bar and get a drink and then come back and you know, run his team? He didn't give me a break.
I can't speak to what Jack Del Rio's going to do. But what I can tell you is
Marissa,
is that,
let's make that the drop. Yeah,
but what I can tell you is...
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a post-game pod. It is 12:52 East Coast time. That means it's 9:52 here in the other City of Lights, Las Vegas, where, boy, was it an exciting game between the Eagles and the Raiders. You know, the Eagles, you want them to come out strong, you want them to finish strong, and they did that in this game. They outscored the Raiders 22-3 in the first and fourth quarters, a dominating performance start to finish for the Eagles. Zach, you got to feel good about what they did today.
Was not a dominating performance. Was
I'm sorry, hold on. They looks like they got outscored 30-0. In the second and third quarters. I forgot that part.
Yeah, it was a bad loss. Ugly performance by the Eagles, one that really showed that they're a team in trouble right now, because you would think with extended time to prepare, extended rest, they would be in a situation where they would look much better than they did. And frankly, you saw regression on both sides.
I think this was the kind of loss that makes you think that maybe everything needs to get blown up top to bottom. This was about as ugly a loss as it gets, and we can get to all of that. But I do think that most of the people who are listening to this podcast, given how bad that game was, the thing they really want to know, and we need to give to them, Zach, is give us an update on how we stand Zach Berman at the tables.
Well, I haven't spent too much time there. But the time that
business
I have...
Business trip, of course.
Yes, but the time that I have has not been particularly fruitful.
Oh, no. So, I need those turkeys.
Yeah, so far it is not looking good for you. That said, I have a late flight on Monday, unless that flight changes or unless my work keeps me away from any recreational activity all day long, then perhaps I will venture down there before the red eye on Monday night.
We got to dream big, baby. Now, what is the, you know, I think Eagles or Birds with Friends listeners, you know your super sorecasting strategy, but what's your system at the blackjack table?
There's not necessarily a system, right? I play by the book. I'm aggressive on splitting and on doubles, right? But when it's reasonable, and that... I mean, we don't need to get into the play-by-play, but...
I think we do.
But that's essentially what happened, is I had a very favorable hand. You know, I split eights against the six, and then I got a three, and I doubled on that 11, and then You know, and I think that one was an 8. And then the other hand, on the other 8, I got a 10. And
okay, so you're feeling so okay.
I'm feeling okay here. And the dealer flips a 10, so I'm like, all right, I'm in good shape.
Oh, no.
And then the dealer gets
a
5. And then the 5. And that wipes you out. So
a classic Vegas story.
So no one wants to know about people's blackjack hands the same way no one wants to know about people's fantasy football teams. But because you asked and because there are turkeys at stake.
What about like betting strategy? Are you sticking with the same wager every hand? Are you mixing it up if it's getting hot?
I don't mix it up if it's getting hot. No, you know, I don't think there's a rhyme or reason to it. You kind of look at
you
your
play
chips.
By feel. Okay,
yeah, you play by feel. But anyways, there was a game here. We really need to discuss this game.
Do we?
We do. Okay. We do. There's because I think
this was so bad. This game was so bad.
Well, I've covered Fletcher Cox for 10 years, and I've never heard him
flex.
Like that. I mean, you have too, or for most of that time. He was very pointed after the game in his remarks about this defense, about the lack of aggression from this defense. I mean, you can tell that there's frustration there. I think that, you know, that's obviously a place to look. I still can't excuse this offense that they had one touchdown through three quarters. Jalen Hurts, on this day when Derek Carr completes 91% of his passes, Jalen Hurts is below 60% for the third consecutive game. So the accuracy there is a question mark. Obviously, Miles Sanders was engaged early in the game. They were using him, then goes down with an ankle injury.
He came to Vegas. He had to get engaged. he should have been eloped early in the game.
He goes down with an ankle injury. We'll see what happens there. It sounds like no fracture, but doesn't sound, you know, particularly promising. We'll see what happens. And I didn't think Nick Sirianni's game management was that stellar either. So if you're just looking, if you're taking stock of the Eagles through 7 games, this is probably the worst
sell
you feel about the team than any point this season.
I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think there's any doubt that this is the nadir of the season so far. But let's split this up into offense and defense, and I think we should start with the defense. You mentioned Fletcher Cox, his pointed comments. They weren't just at Jonathan Gannon. They were also at a member of this podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, we have conversations all the time. We have conversations during the week. You know, we know who we are. I think for us, it's just, you know, sticking together, not letting anybody pry us apart in the locker room. You know, I could give a damn what the outsiders think. I know, you know, it's 63, having many guys in that locker room.
Who are you?
I'm Fletcher Cox.
No, I'm
next question.
You really got him.
I thought that was who? Like the least controversial question.
It was the very obvious follow-up question, yes.
I could have said, who is this team? But I think Fletcher knew what I was asking. Or perhaps he did not, or perhaps he didn't like a previous question that I asked, or perhaps he was just answering it. Obviously, he is Fletcher Cox. That I can answer affirmatively.
He was salty there. So, yeah, I mean, it was an interesting press conference from him. He was, you know, he has not been shy about his thoughts on this defensive scheme, and that has gone as predicted, right? But it was especially more pointed tonight. And even like Rodney McLeod said some things that were along the same lines about the passivity of this defense. Nick Sirianni talked about it. And it is just, I mean, the offense is awful right now, but it is awful in a spectacular way, right? Like they are finding new ways to be embarrassing. The defense it's so meek. It's so limp. Every single time, every single possession. I mean, even when they got a turnover, you know, it was deep in the red zone, and it was after they'd given up a 3rd and 15, and Fletcher Cox is barking at the sidelines. Like it's you go through their drives, the Raiders' drives. It's long drive, interception, long drive touchdown, long drive touchdown. They get the turnover, they kick a field goal, long drive, short drive touchdown, long drive touchdown. It's like you're sitting back in this zone. They blitzed a little bit more tonight, according to True Media, than they did than they have at any point this season. I think it was 28% of the snaps. They sent at least five rushers, but still, it was just everything is so easy against this defense. Everything, every week. Five of the last six quarterbacks they've played have had fewer than 10 incompletions. It's like, you know, take it however you want it against us. We don't care. And it's so tough to watch. They don't have the personnel to play this way. They don't have the offense that matches this playing style, right? Because the whole point is if you've got a good offense, then you can maybe force the opposing team into trying to sort of chase the score. But that's not how this team is built. It's just none of the pieces fit. And it's like if you're going to go down swinging. It's so hard to watch.
Sure. So earlier on this season, I was defending this defense. And I was saying that I think the phrasing that I used was against really good quarterbacks, they're going to have long days. And against mediocre to bad quarterbacks, they will
turns
have
out
their
that
way.
It's because just Sam Darnold just stinks, well, that's all.
Well, I think what it is, and there's more tape on this this defense as well. If you're just willing to live with the underneath passes, they're there all day long, right? Yeah. And I shouldn't even say underneath passes. Just like if you're not going to challenge them downfield, right? Everything short to intermediate, the Eagles are just giving up. And it seems to be that, and we've discussed this, they've discussed this, they want to force teams to try to go on these long 10, 12 play drives and try to get a mistake or try to get off the field on third down. Well, the 95-yard drive, I think it was, the Raiders did not even get into a third down. Right,
that's insane.
That only happens
the first play of the drive, backed up on their four. They have like a very easy 18-yard completion.
Yeah.
Like,
so I agree with you that I'm souring on this defense too. I don't think Gannon has the personnel that he needs to play this way. In particular, in the middle of the field, their linebackers and their safeties. You know, there was that play along the left sideline. You know, when the fullback Ingold got out. Right? And
yeah,
like that's
Davion Taylor bites on the play.
That's thing. Clearly them just taking advantage of these Eagles linebackers. So the personnel doesn't match the playing style. They're not getting nearly enough from that defensive line. We have said that in games when they have the decided advantage at the line of scrimmage, they're going to be, you know, this defense is going to eat. They had no sacks and two quarterback hits today. Yeah, that's bad. Now, Fletcher Cox said Derek Carr was getting rid of the ball quickly. And then other times they were getting to him. They really weren't getting to him much. And we talked about it on the Thursday pod about Derek Carr, how he can react when there's pressure in his face. Carr was very good today, but this isn't chalked up as like Carr being hot. The defense allowed him to play this way. A bad day for the Eagles defense, discouraging. And frankly, given the personnel, like there's no fix coming at linebacker.
No.
I asked Gannon.
He did get rid of the ball quickly today. It was the second quickest time to throw of any quarterback this week.
That's because guys were open, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I asked Gannon earlier this week if he would like to settle on a top two linebacker group. And he said, yeah, if he has two guys who you don't want to take off the field, the implication being they're like, they don't have that right now. So they started today with TJ Edwards and Davion Taylor out there. And it's just they're mixing and matching at that spot because they don't have the personnel there. They don't have
Singleton
the
and Taylor ended up playing the most snaps. Sorry, I didn't.
No problem. No, they don't have the problem in them. They don't have the right players in the middle of the field at safety. It doesn't seem so. That's really where this team's weakness is.
But what's part of what's so infuriating is it's not like a talentless defense, you know. Darius Slay has been playing very well. Avante Maddox has been playing very well. Steven Nelson's been playing pretty well on the outside. They're getting pretty good cornerback play from those top three guys. You've got Javon Hargrave playing like an all-pro. You've got Fletcher Cox. You've got Josh Sweat, who's being like asked to play this sort of two-gapping technique as like a de facto interior 3-4 defensive end, like which is just a waste of his skill set. You cannot tell me that You are trying to build a scheme around the strengths of your players, and this is what you trot out there. You've got, you know, Sweat playing out of position. You've got the linebackers in focus as the guys who have to make plays in the middle of the field. You've got, you know, Jannard Avery being forced to be on the field and be a major factor in the defense. Like, it's hard for me to believe that that's the case.
You're absolutely right. And that's the most discouraging part about it.
And I was wrong. Like, I thought I was really bullish about the defense. I was excited to see what Gannon would do. And they're not doing anything interesting.
You're right. You're right. Now, I don't know if Gannon's playing this way to protect his personnel, right? But it's clearly not working. And I understand it's different philosophies, but I've heard Shield talk about this. He talked about it on his WIP hit the other day. I'll do the flex for him, that he was talking to Harbaugh this summer about, you know, like things that he learned from Jim
Just
Johnson.
Just the two of them, you know, over cocktails as they do at each other's summer house, you know, the best of friends, those two.
And the thing he really learned from Johnson was to force an early result, like one way or the other, you know, force a result early. And the Eagles aren't
doing
that.
I so prefer that playing style.
It's like their whole premise is try to force you to make a mistake over a 12-play drive, but that's clearly not happening.
And
right
I
now.
Get that it worked. I get that it worked with the Rams last year, and I understand the theory behind it, but I also feel like it's so anathema to like the
well, good the, word.
Well, we'll see if I use it correctly. The like motivation of a defensive player in the NFL, right? Like, to be so aggressive, like to get to that level, don't you want to be like frothing at the mouth and being all about attacking? And then you're just sitting back and it's so meek and it's like, oh, I just hope that they make a mistake. I hope they throw me the ball. It's so like,
well, the other part too, Bo, is
I
that
hate it.
If this is the way you want to play, then like bring in a defense where it's guys who are of that personality. I shouldn't even say of that personality, who can fit that style or are younger players and don't know otherwise. Like the defense is a veteran group. They don't have a first or second year starter other than it's Davion Taylor now. But before Davion Taylor was in the lineup, they didn't have a first or second year starter on the defense. Most of the guys came up or were at their best during, you know, the Jim Schwartz era. And so it's like taking a group that played that way and changing the way they play. You've heard Fletcher Cox today say, like, he's not used to not being aggressive. And I think across the board, it's players who – it's not accentuating what these players do well. And I really thought when Gannon came in and said he doesn't have a scheme, I took him at his word that, like, he was going to play what works for this personnel and against the opponent that they're playing. And that hasn't necessarily been the case here through seven games.
No, it's been really hard to watch. It's like even when they get like the opposing offenses to third and medium, which is like pretty rarely, they're still backing off. Like it's so easy to convert. I don't know. It is not the number one problem with the organization right now, but it's hard not to pay attention to it when they're on the field so much, like by design, because that's how they play. I just like, it's so frustrating.
It is. And I don't know if Gannon's going to make a dramatic change here. I don't think that Gannon is on like the hot seat per se. I think he's, I know.
I agree, but that was a pretty scapegoaty set of press conferences after the game.
Yeah, I mean that's
even
that was
Sirianni
bad
was
after
saying
after
we
game.
Have to be more aggressive on yes. defense.
Yes, so yeah, I'm curious to see what goes on with that defense.
All right, why don't we take a little break for ads, and then we'll come back and talk about the offense.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
All right, back on Birds with Friends with Zach Berman, the man who needs to win some money tomorrow. For him,
that's okay. I haven't gone, you know, all out here on it. As I said, this is a business.
It's salvageable. We're within the range of just a hot few hands bringing us back out into the black.
I mean, this is a business trip. This is not like a bachelor party here. I was in bed at a very reasonable hour last night. I was up way too early. I was up at 5:30.
And you're going to be up way too early tomorrow.
Yes, I have a radio hit in the morning. So,
way too early.
But I could have gone down this morning and sat there at the tables for a while, but instead I was preparing for the game. This was very
well,
much a
of course,
business
trip. Yeah, absolutely. Nobody doubts that, Zach. Nobody doubts your work credentials. But I will. Let's go over Super Sorecasting. It was actually a pretty prolific week of turkeys. So, Zach, you had the Raiders have at least 5 plays of 20-plus yards, and that hits. That's a nice hit on the roulette wheel. And then you were inches away from Hunter Renfrow catching a touchdown pass. And this was in your head. You said I needed that. So I'm glad that you were paying attention. Just fell short. And then you had Derek Carr has more rushing yards than Miles Sanders. Also turned out to be more possible than we would have thought, but did not hit. So one for you. I had Jalen Hurts leads the Eagles in carries. That's a bingo. That's a bullseye. One for me. Dallas Goedert either has at least 100 yards receiving or scores at least 2 touchdowns. Not quite. Ryan Kerrigan has at least 1 sack. No, did not happen. Once again, absent from the stat sheet. Ben Simmons is traded before the game is over. Did not happen, obviously. And Zach ends his Vegas trip with more money in his pocket than what he came with. So I really need you to come through here, Zach, because otherwise the bad news is Shields got 2. He had Devontae Smith has more receiving yards than Henry Ruggs. That hits. A punt is muffed. Did not hit. The Raiders blitz on more snaps than the Eagles. Now, I don't think that that's going to hit because the Eagles, as I said, blitzed more often than usual tonight. And the Raiders, according to, I think, next-gen stats, were in cover 3 on 88% of their snaps or something like that. So I don't think that one's going to hit. But he also had, for 17 turkeys, Dallas Goedert sets a season high in receiving yards. His 70 was higher than his 66. So he's got 2. I need you to come through, Zach, so we can stop Sheila from running away with this bad boy.
I will do my best.
All right. That's important. Okay. Well, let's talk about this terrible, no good, very bad offense. Jalen Hurts finishes 18 of 34 for 236 yards. Sacked twice, 2 touchdowns, and 36 rushing yards on 13 carries. That is a much better stat line than he deserves in this game. He was bad. He missed a bunch of throws early to Devontae Smith. He missed a deep shot late to Quez Watkins. He had a couple fumbles. And, like, I feel like I've been on the more positive side of Jalen Hurts than maybe like then average, thinking that, you know, he's shown some things. He is still young. Like, I've seen guys improve, and I feel like this game is the one that made me decide that I'm out on Jalen Hurts. And there was one play in particular that was like, I'm done. And it wasn't even like that big of a play. They were already down, I think, 30-7 at this point. But it was 2nd and 11, and he's scrambling, and he's there, like, able to get a first down, and he slides 3 yards short of the first down when it looks like he could have been able to just sort of run over a guy or through a guy and get the first down. And he talks about it in the post-game press conference, like, you know, that was a play that I should have made.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, we've seen this several times where he just doesn't have like the understanding of what's going on in the game sometimes, like when he throws the ball away on 4th down. And for a player who has played so much football as he has, like been a starting quarterback, you know, at the college level in big games in these big situations, and he just misses stuff. And obviously that happens when he's going through progressions, like he misses reads. For whatever reason, that was like the final straw for me. I'm ready to blow everything up.
Well, that wasn't the final straw, but
for me it was.
This was not a good game. I had the same reaction to you. with that run. I was kind of cautious about it because I don't want to be the concussion uncle here who's like, put your head down and, you know, ran through for the first down. But he acknowledged after the game that was a play he would like back, or that's not, you know, he should have gone for the first there like he said he had done on previous runs. And that cost them. They had to punt on that drive. I thought that now the mishandled snap, Nick Sirianni said that hit Jack Driscoll's hand. I had the TV copy on my computer, but I couldn't see that on the replay I saw. Was that what happened? Based on
I
your
guess
understanding?
So. I guess so.
Still, like Hurts said, it hit him in his hands. I'm sure the ball got rerouted a bit, but that's a really bad fumble. Now you can question whether they should have been in shotgun on that play.
They were already out of the game at that point. Like, that's not when they lost. I mean, it was bad for sure. But that was not when they lost the game.
I mean, to me, it was after that first drive. You know, the script was working well. They moved the ball. They have some momentum.
Leaning on the run game, leaning on Miles Sanders.
They have some momentum. After that, punt. Then you had Gainwell's fumble. All right, I'm not going to include the kneel down at the end of the half.
Right.
Then the punt, right? So you have four empty possessions there. Take Gainwell's fumble out. You have three drives that end with punts. On those drives, they ended
the drive in a kick.
And Sirianni made the point that the one they started at the four, you know, they're just trying to get some yards there. But they, you know,
weak answer that was. By
they
the
get
way.
Two first downs, right? At that point, you're at the 26 yard line. I mean, get another first down, right? It's not like that's the objective there. I thought overall that was the part of the game, the second and the third quarter, where it was most discouraging for the offense. And that's where you need Hurts to make a play. He has these, I don't even want to say garbage time stats, but those two drives in the fourth quarter when the game was already out of reach at that point. When it goes punt, fumble, punt, oh, I'm sorry, punt, punt, fumble, punt, and then fumble when they're down in the red zone, that's bad. And that's on your play caller, that's on your quarterback. And I know the defense is going to get all the heat in the city tomorrow, or I guess in Philly it's already today. But to me, when you score 7 points in the first three quarters of a game, that's an offense problem too, right? This team needs points. They have failed to score more than 22 points in 5 of 7 games this year. That's bad. So, for lack of a better term there, they need to be better on offense. They need to be better on defense. You can say they need to be better on special teams.
Sorry, could you say that again?
All aboard. They're just...
Sorry, could you say that again?
That was my watch. All aboard. They were... there's so much to be discouraged about this morning.
So much to be discouraged about. It's bad. I don't know. And it's the thing about, like, are you really accentuating the skill sets of your players, given what they ask Hurts to do? But I felt like, I don't know, I felt like maybe this game was a little bit more tilted towards me blaming Hurts than Sirianni from an offensive game plan standpoint than some of the recent ones have been. But I don't know. I don't know if you disagree with that.
Well, I just don't know if this is the right marriage of coach and quarterback. In that, I think what Nick really values in quarterback play is accuracy. And Jalen Hurts just hasn't shown to date that he's an accurate quarterback. He has a lot of really good skills. And he's not a bad quarterback, right? Like, he's not... You don't watch him playing, you say that guy should not be starting in this league at all. But the system is not maximizing the quarterback, and I don't know if Hurts is the right quarterback for the way Nick wants to play. I'm glad you pointed out what was bad or what didn't look good in Jalen's performance. It's when he throws you know, behind this receiver. He misses that. He misses that target. Nick's offense is so much of it is based on getting the receiver the ball in a certain spot, right? He really wants yards after the catch. That's something he's talked about. If you're going to have these precise timing patterns, the quarterback has to be on time.
Always on time. Gave you my all. Baby, be mine. You with me?
I don't know that song.
Sorry. Okay. Well, at least Miles Sanders had a good first drive.
He did.
And we got to see Bosco. He's been gone all season.
We did. Now, do you think that, Boston Scott's total carries was a reaction to Gainwell's fumble?
A little bit. I think he was going to be involved anyway.
Okay.
Once Sanders went down.
So if Miles misses time here, then
I think your boy. I think they're going to activate your boy,
Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
Hojo. It wouldn't be Joe Ho.
It would. Okay. But.
Are they going to commit to the run with Gainwell, or do they use this as more of a reason to pass the ball?
I mean, I don't think they're going to commit to the run with Gainwell, but I think he'll be on the field a lot.
Yeah. Now, the thing I will say is that if you're looking for optimism this morning, and there's not much optimism in the terms
Who are you if you're doing that?
In terms of the way the Eagles are playing, because as I wrote, like there's no evidence that they're going to be better. All right. It's that their schedule is so forgiving, right? The Lions are 0-7. They have them next week. They still have the Giants twice. The Giants are 2-5.
The Lions almost beat a good team today.
They still have Washington twice. Washington's 2-5. They still have the Jets. The Jets are what, 1-5, 1-6? I think 1-5. They had their bye week. So now, with that said, I bet those teams are looking at their schedule and are like, well, we have
right,
the Eagles,
exactly.
You know?
Right, the Lions are thinking to themselves, we finally got a winnable game.
Exactly. So I guess we'll learn more about them next week.
No, we won't.
Well,
they stink.
I'll say this.
It doesn't matter.
If they lose next week, like they are selling. They are absolutely selling in the day after that game.
They should sell anyway. Forget about selling. If they lose next week, like I don't know if anyone's going to be here next year. Don't you think that's on the table?
Perhaps.
What have you seen from this coaching staff that makes you think like they're the answer long term?
Well, I have not yet. And to be honest with you, that's one thing that jumps out. And it's not just the coaching staff. Like I'll extend that to the front office. There's not a game.
100%.
Like when you go into these games, and I wrote this, so I guess I'm using a line from my story. They don't have the personnel advantage, and they don't have the schematic advantage in most of these games they play. And that is concerning because if you don't have one, you at least want the other. And they have neither of them. And that explains in part why they're 2-5 right now.
Do you think there's a scenario in which Jeffrey Lurie cleans complete slate and moves on from the general manager?
I don't, because I think that so many of their moves were done with 2022 in mind. I don't think they were trying to maximize the 2021 season, as Jeffrey even said. And I think that's been Howie's directive is 2022. I think they wanted to
he's going to be able to point to the Dolphins trade because that has worked out exceedingly well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not often that a guy gets to hire 4 head coaches. And is that who you want picking 3 players in the top 10 or top 15, whatever it could be?
Well, that's the conversation. Now, the Nick Sirianni hot seat conversation, I do think it's still premature 7 games into a coaching career.
I no longer think it's premature.
But they're not getting better, and that's the biggest concern.
Yeah. I mean, they you know, all this talk about the mini bye, nothing changed except for the opening drive. They ran the ball under center a little bit. It's bad.
Yes.
Everything is bad. It's really bad.
And, like, I understand that the Raiders are a 5-2 team and that Derek Carr is an 8-year veteran quarterback. But if you're going to be a good team, you need to be competitive against a team like the Raiders, right? Like, you can't be just outplayed, outcoached, overmatched.
Outgunned.
You can't be that. Yeah, you can't be that against a team like the Raiders.
Outplanned.
And that's not disrespectful to the Raiders. It's just like these are the types of teams you need to be in the games against.
Lurie's gonna need a right hand man. Sorry, these are over your head.
What's the reference?
Do you remember what was the last name of that defensive tackle? Who played for the Eagles during the 2017 season and was on the, I think he was on the Cowboys after that. First name, Justin.
2017 season, a guy named, Justin Hamilton?
Hamilton, that's it.
Oh,
that's
okay,
it.
Gotcha, okay. Yes, I do remember Justin Hamilton.
Okay, why don't we take one more break? So we can hear from our sponsors before I don't even know what we're going to finish talking about. So stay tuned for that. All right, back on Birds with Friends to close this bad boy out. A few things that we should touch on, Zach. You know, we talked about, like, the frustration. And it's not just, like, it's not just in the post-game press conference. Like, it was boiling up on the field a little bit, too. I mean, the first offensive drive for the Raiders, Sirianni has that decision to accept the penalty or push the Raiders back. It was either going to be 4th-and-3 around midfield or 3rd-and-15. And he said after the game that it was like for them, that would be an easy go, 4th-and-3 from midfield. So he chose to accept the penalty, push the Raiders back, and then the Raiders pick up that 3rd-and-15. Now, he didn't realize when he made that decision that the Raiders were sending their punt team on. So it turned out to be the wrong decision because of that. But otherwise, I think it was the right decision. Still, the Raiders complete that 3rd-and-15 down the field. And afterwards, Fletcher Cox is like barking at the sidelines. And he said afterwards that, you know, he wasn't like upset at anybody, but he didn't like the defensive play call on that play. That's what he was angry about. You also saw, you know, Jason Kelce in the second half. When his helmet got ripped off, he gets an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. He sort of stands over. I forget who that was. You know, he's showing his frustration. And you have to think, like, guys like Kelce and Cox, you know, they went through the hell of last year, you know, hoping that this was going to – they were going mm-hmm. to be here to start to turn things around. And to now be here at 2-5, looking like you're going to be in another lost season – It's got to be just maddening for those guys because they know that this is the end for them, you know, or at least towards the end, and for it to be wasted on another lost season is just tough.
I agree. And particularly in Kelce's case, because I think a big part of why he came back, I shouldn't say a big part, but part of why he came back is he didn't want his career to end the right way last season went.
Well, there was thing that Ertz said in his press conference that it felt like he was talking about Kelce when he said he asked somebody, why did you come back? And he said, and they said, I didn't want it to end like it did last year.
Yes.
And it's hard to imagine who that would be if it wasn't Kelce. Mm-hmm. But
now I believe part of it, and Jason's talked about this, is like not just how bad last season was, but all that surrounded it, right? You didn't really feel like you were a part of a team,
mm-hmm.
right? But still, it's the losing. Like losing wears on these players, and there's something I've long felt here. I shouldn't say long felt. I'm only 35 years old.
Ooh,
here.
I like this.
There's something that I felt is like, you know, I hear this expression sometimes that like players are the last to know, but to me, it's like I always feel like players are the first to know when something's going wrong in that building. Like they know when it's not going to work out. You know, you sometimes, and that runs counter to this idea that like players always believe and players always think they're going to win the next game. And players say that. And there is, I suppose, that like, you know, the any given, you know, the let's just focus on that next week's game. But I always feel that inside a locker room, like they know if a team's going to be good or they know if a team's not. And
you think so?
I do. Do you disagree?
No, I actually mostly agree. I think the like big picture, whether a team's going to be good or not, I think they can fool themselves about that, especially at the start of a season.
Yes, the start of a season. Yeah. But like, I'm saying as the season's going.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it also sort of robs the players of their own agency to make it about the coaches because, like, you know, they're going to still – like, they're professionals. They're going to go out there and try to win, you know, most of the time anyway. But I think you're right. Like, they can smell and sniff out when their coaches are not going to be good or – I mean, this is the same thing that with Chip that we've talked about. Like, you know, I think they can smell a fraud.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say a fraud. Like the 2012 Eagles, I felt the same way about that team. Like they felt it going south, right? Like they knew what was going on in there, and 2015 felt that way. I wasn't in the locker room last year. We weren't in the locker room last year, mm-hmm. but my strong sense is, you know, based on some of the reporting we've done, like. You know, people knew that something was wrong in the building last year. I don't know yet if that's the case this year, and it is a new staff. And I'll say candidly, like I like some of the people on the staff that we've gotten to know. Like I think
me too.
They're good, well intentioned people, but just evaluating it objectively, they're not doing a good job coaching and leading this football team.
And I don't think that they have been given a lot to work with.
Yes, I agree.
I think that is the bigger problem. But you know, it's hard to think that you know, when Fletcher Cox is out there, you know, basically calling out the defensive scheme, it's hard to believe that everybody's in lockstep.
Well, and I don't want to be hypocritical in that when during the coaching search, I said it would be a mistake to hire a coach for Jalen Hurts, right? Like, you don't know if Jalen Hurts is your guy. I said, too, it would be a mistake to hire a defensive coordinator based on, like, the personnel you have on defense, whether it's Darius Slay, whether it's Fletcher Cox. They were a 4-12 team. You don't build a coaching staff to try to maximize a team that went 4-12.
Sure.
But that said, you hand the coaches the roster, and you say, these are the guys you have. What are you going to do to make it work, right? So you don't hire Nick Sirianni to coach Jalen Hurts, but Phillip Rivers is not your quarterback.
Hire someone who can make the most of what they've been given.
Exactly, exactly. And the same thing with Gannon, right? You don't have Darius Leonard at linebacker or, you know, pick your Anthony Barr or whichever.
Anthony Walker would be an improvement.
So my point is that I don't feel like the way they're coaching is to maximize the talent that they have on the roster. And if that is what they're trying to do, then that is even more concerning.
We've talked about it. It's like, if you want to judge them on the things that they say they should be judged on, you know, Steichen says the most important thing they care about for a quarterback is completion percentage. Okay. Well, his completion percentage sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, Sirianni says that it's all about mastering the things that require no talent. Well, guess what? Like, nobody in the league makes more mistakes, unforced errors, than the Eagles do. So if we're judging them on what they say they want to be, and you know, even preventing big plays tonight was not great for the defense, even though, I mean, I guess some of those were, like, underneath and then got to 20 yards. But still, like, they're not stopping anybody in the red zone. So they're not doing anything that they're trying to do, even if those things are misguided. So, like, it's hard to think that they're doing anything but having a feeling great at the moment.
Yeah, and, you know, Nick Sirianni talks about situational football. The third down numbers, those are even skewed by the fourth quarter. At halftime, they were 1-4 on third downs. Okay, that just kills you. Like, that kills you. So
you are the third down king. I do love that about you.
But that's like third downs in red zone. And Nick talked about it tonight when, you know, he was talking about things they can hang their hat on, or he wants them to hang their hat on. They had another botched red zone visit tonight. Now they've been pretty good overall.
What do you hang your hat on, Zach?
What do I hang my hat on as like as a reporter, as a person, as
I don't you know. What do you hang your hat on?
I think you do you do the right thing all the time. You treat people the right way, and
I'm trying to be a little more literal, but okay. This is good.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant like what are your like core values, the way Nick Sirianni says. But yeah,
I think we know your core values.
Yeah, you do the right thing. You treat people the right way.
I feel like this whole thing would be turned around if only the five core values were grammatically consistent.
Touché.
I feel like it's just a simple tweak, you know. Make it competition instead of compete. Make it connection instead of connect. And then all of a sudden you're cooking with gas. You got the same parts of speech.
Well,
we're rolling.
You should recommend that to him.
Maybe I will. The onside kick, the surprise onside kick. I didn't mind this call because, like, one of the frustrating things about this team is that they don't do things to try to, like, negate their talent differential. So I thought it was fine, especially given how badly the defense was playing in the first half to come out with that. And it was, like, the ball bounces a little bit differently, and it's gonna be recovered, I think, by Elliott. They got an unfortunate big bounce. I thought it was fine. I feel like this is totally guesswork and anecdotal. I feel like you've got a better chance of converting the surprise if it's not right out of halftime, when there's a chance that they could say, like, be careful for this. I feel like if it's in the flow of the game, you got a slightly better chance, but I don't know. I don't know if the numbers back that up.
Yeah, so clearly Michael Clay saw something. That's what they said after the game. But this is how you know I've been boofied or birds with friendsified. When it happened, one of my first reactions, like, other than the implications on the game, was that was almost a huge opportunity for Shield, because in his what's it, the crystal bald eagle?
Yes.
He had, like, there's an 8-point, the Eagles successfully execute a surprise onside kick. And that would have been the case.
That would have been a big one. It would have got him within one of me, I believe. And of course, do you think I got the direct hit for this game because Sua Opeta was a surprise inactive?
Do I think you got the direct hit? No, I don't.
Yes, for there being a surprise inactive on the Eagles game in Las Vegas.
No, that was not a surprise inactive.
No, okay. That's too bad.
By the way, I thought the dagger in the game was after that run, that Renfro play, which people said that that Sirianni should have challenged. The Raiders keep their offense on the field, fourth and goal at the one, and they run. It looked like a pick play, right? So the play that the Eagles, the Eagles can't execute.
I didn't even think about that. Downs. Yeah.
I thought Derek Carr
would have been very funny if it got called back. But yeah,
I thought Carr was just going to sneak it. They pass it and it works, and touchdown. So
yeah,
and that was the dagger right there.
Yeah. What'd you think of the stadium?
Liked it. I thought it could have had a little more character. I thought it could have had a little more character to it, right? Like
I like the character from the outside. Like the all black is kind of cool.
I would have liked, you know, and it might have just been the angle we had in the press box. But you have, you know, behind the end zone there, you have the skyline, right? I would like
a little more. You'd like to see a little more of the skyline, yeah.
A little more of that, you know. You have Mandalay Bay. You have the Delano. Yeah, you have the Luxor. You have, you know, you have that all right there in the background, and yeah, I would like a little more of that. The eternal flame is covering.
Yeah, that's a little silly.
It's covering the skyline. I would have put the eternal flame on the other side.
Okay.
And then show the skyline a little more. Yes.
I think the whole atmosphere, like, it is very Vegasified. Like, it's such a you know, it's such an event. They've got like a live band and you know, all these like in-house entertainers. You know, Guy Fieri was there, Titus O'Neil was there, CeCe Sabathia made an appearance. I think there's something that's like honest about making an NFL game like sort of a farcical entertainment product that I think fits, as opposed to like pretending it's this very serious thing.
I think it's so great that there's a football team here. It's so great that there's professional sports here. It's a great place to come. I wish there were more flights.
Uh-oh.
What?
Zach, just we are not getting into mistress talk tonight.
I just thought that overall it's like it feels like an event when you're here. And so
yeah, I think that's right. It fits. Like the yeah. You're right. The NFL belongs in this yeah. This place of eternal what's the word I'm looking for?
I mean, pro pomp, sports in general. It's like it's just ridiculous.
Tackiness, yeah.
No, it's just ridiculous that for all these years they didn't have pro sports here because there was gambling here, right?
Like, right.
It's a great place for a sporting event. I from what I understand, the Golden
Knights.
And
I think I like Raiders fans, good fans.
Yeah, but like from what I understand, the Golden Knights crowd is awesome, mm-hmm. right? Like all these, it's such a destination for visiting teams. Yeah, there should be Final Fours here, and there should be this is a place to come for events. So I like that there's an NFL team here. I wish we were here more
you
than
see
once
again
every
in 8 years.
Yeah. Hopefully there are more flights then.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I guess that's about all we got. And you
How
know
was
from
your
one,
Vegas weekend?
From one destination to another in Detroit next week.
That's true. How's your Vegas weekend?
You know what stinks? It's like, I can get to that in a sec. You know, this is going to be a very first world problem of, you know, I'm not complaining about the job, but like, you know, a 2-5 football team against an 0-7 football team. And for that, you got to miss, you know, Halloween with the kids. It's no fun.
Yeah, I understand. I hear you. I have a little funny story on my account.
Okay.
So there is an EDM festival. Okay. I don't know what EDM is.
Not to be
is.
Confused with the QAnon festival that's also here.
I wasn't familiar with EDM. I suppose.
What about EDP?
What's EDP?
Never mind.
Okay. I struck up conversation with a group in the elevator, and you would have thought
that doesn't surprise me at all.
And you would have thought that like we speak different languages, right? Like I'm here, right. I'm here for a football game, okay?
Business trip.
Yes, exactly. And like they're coming home from this thing when I'm going down and getting you know breakfast right. in the morning, and it's just like. Two totally different worlds that we live in.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, but apparently, I imagine there are going to be listeners who are shaking their head that like I should know this. Apparently, it's like the biggest festival going on, and
some fun outfits around.
Yeah, credit to these people, they go all out. So,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had a good. I wasn't here for very long. I got in at about 5 o'clock last night. Tried to go to the Neon Museum with a friend of the pod, Dan McQuaid, and another friend of ours, Justin, and was closed. Or you needed reservations. We weren't able to go. So we ended up just sort of walking around the downtown for a little bit. Good people watching. Got to see a guy, like a lead singer with a meat cleaver on his head and then like Beetlejuice playing the guitar. A very specific level of musicianship that it would require to be playing those in those outfits. So yeah, it was cool.
Good.
Got to bed early.
Good. Good.
All right. What's going on this week, Zach?
Well, big week. Eagles Lions. The press conference ended today. Press conference ended with Jalen Hurts saying how they have this big game against Detroit next week. And you know, play that on all the promos this week, right? Yeah, I mean, this is – I don't want to say it's the Eagles season, but if you have any hope that this thing is salvaged, like, you need to put it to Detroit. Detroit, which has
who should we cover if the Eagles lose this game? Like, what should Birds with Friends do for the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to – we'll still provide comprehensive coverage of the Eagles. We'll probably look ahead to the draft, look at, you know, a staying or going, look at the progress of young players. Right? There are guys who no matter
what – let's make this pledge. If the Eagles lose this game, let's make sure we get Brugler on Birds with Friends the next week. Let's just turn okay. the page right away.
All right, but I mean, we'll still provide the type of coverage that will make people proud to be subscribers.
Sure. I mean, we're professionals. I'm just saying. I feel like Eagles fans might not want to listen to. Maybe they can give us suggestions on what we should cover.
It's incumbent upon us to give them a reason to listen, right? The performance of the team can't be an excuse for our production.
That's right. Excuses breed mediocrity.
I agree with that as well.
The lamp is never full. All right. Well, that'll do it. Let you get some sleep, Zach, because you've got an important radio hit, and I've got an early flight. So Marissa's got work to do. Okay. Thanks for listening to the postgame pod. The Eagles stink. They lost 33-22, and it wasn't even nearly that close. And they fall to 2-5. So for Sheil, asleep in his bed, for Zach and Marissa, I'm Bo. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And as always, we love you.